I know most of us have probably, on the flip side, have either asked the question, thought about it, and said it in some other way, fashion, form. God, why is this happening to me? Why do I deserve this? Why did you take the job away from me? Why did my loved one, my parents die? Why did my son die? Why did something happen? Why are you doing this to me? The question kept coming up, well, what do you deserve then? See, we are deserving of hell and God's wrath, but Christ came as our ambassador, taking all the weight of sin, each sin, upon his shoulders and looking at us through his eyes while he was on the cross. You see, you have to understand that the grace that was given to us was bought with a price. See, the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born to take the sins of the world. Grace is that which we are not deserving of from God, but God extends his grace generously. Look with me in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. See, God's grace not only redeems us, but it also reforms us and rewards us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Christ who saved us and called us to be holy, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. God's grace has appeared through Christ Jesus because we could not hold to the Old Testament law. That's why that they had to keep writing 615 laws, because we couldn't even obey 10. Ephesians, Paul writes again in chapter 2, verse 5, says, even when we are dead in our trespasses and sin, Christ made us alive together, or made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. Brother Jesse has said that this morning so well before he came up here. God's grace is for all people, all ethnic groups. There's nobody excluded from God's grace, whether we accept it or reject it. Paul writes in the Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace. It's also recorded in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. See, Paul writes in verse 11 in a past tense form. Paul writes that Christ has already came to atone for our sins, and that salvation is only through him. See, that is the only way. Christ came for a purpose. This is not a Christmas message, but it is a reminder of why he was born. He was born to go there. That's why he was born, to take away our sins, take away our wrongdoings. And Paul goes from the past tense to remind us to the present tense in verse 12, training us or teaching us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. See, God breaks our moral darkness like the rising sun. The atonement from Christ, his birth, death, and resurrection, is full of grace and extended to us even though we don't deserve it. Salvation through the Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only way to receive the fullness of grace from God. See, but we're always being trained through our life, our circumstances, our situations, and we need to be reminded constantly of the grace from God. Like this morning, I was telling you about the very breath. I woke up early this morning, really no earlier than I do any other morning. And I was laying on my back, and all I could do was just go, deep breath. God, thank you. Thank you for that breath. Thank you for allowing me to be able to turn over and get up from my bed. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, God. I forget about the grace that he gives to us that we take for granted. And sometimes it breaks my heart when I don't pay attention to that. So Paul writes for us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. In 1 Peter 4:2, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. See, that's where they're writing from the same circumstances that we have today, the same problems that we have today. The same problems is that we look to the world for the answers. We look to self-help. We look to anything else. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough things. I don't have the right car. I don't have the right house. We look to the world for happiness. We look to the world to tell us that we're enough. That's the lie that they keep producing. They're dealing with the same thing 2,000 years ago. And today, that's why Paul is still reminding us to stay focused on the will of God. Through Christ Jesus, only salvation comes from Him. See, Paul was combining our human nature of self and telling us how to live simply. Paul also describes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 through 4, this. Tell me if this doesn't sound like today. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that sound like now, 2019? It does to me. See, but that's the old. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are a new life. That's the present. We are a new life. And we should always be seeking a godly life. In verses 13 and 14, Paul writes, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. See, Christ came to establish the only way back to God was through him. Christ extended God's grace through his sacrifice on the cross. And let's remember that Christ was born, lived a perfect life, obedient to the Father, died a gruesome death, buried and raised himself from the dead to bring new life to us. In Matthew 20, the Gospel of Matthew, verse 28, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, Paul writes in the future tense from verse 13 and 14, because as a Christian, see, when we become saved, we become justified. We become saved. Sanctification is the process from the time we become saved to the time that we die. That's our life here on earth. Now, what we choose to do with it is really up to us in the sense of we can choose to live a life for God, or we can choose to live a life that rejects God or is combined with the world. Now, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I make the most mistakes out of anybody else in this room. I probably sin the most. But the one thing that I'm always reminded of is that Christ's sacrifice was for me. Christ's sacrifice was the same for Paul. Paul was a murderer, a persecutor of Christians. And look what Christ did with him. We have most of the New Testament because of Paul. So if Paul, the apostle, understands, I don't know if I can do this, understands God's grace to the point that that is the first and foremost, that is the Christian foundation, is that we as believers have to have a life that's separate from the world. If we do not live separate from the world, then what good, what does it matter? The world doesn't see anything different in us. That's why we're reminded to be the salt and the light. We are supposed to be separate. Now, I know that you like me, have friends that don't go to church. I train with a lot of guys that don't go to church. They don't believe in God. But the one thing they know that's different about me is that I believe in the Son of God. I know who gives me the hope of eternity. That is through Christ Jesus. You should have that hope with you at every second, of every moment, of every day. And the world should see a difference in you. Paul writes this because he knows from the opposite side. He knows what was different about Christians. That's why he persecuted them, and he took joy in it. Too many times we get filled with the fact, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want somebody to say something to me. I don't want to be put out. I don't want to be separated from my friends. It's not about them. It's not about them, any persecution at all, because it's all about God. It's putting it towards Him. In Mark 4, he talks about Jesus in the middle of the storm. I would rather be in the boat with Christ in the middle of a storm than anywhere else in the world, because I know who has control of nature. I know who's going to be with me, and He's going to take me from one side to the other. That was His command in Mark 4. Verse 35, let us go to the other side. He never said it was going to be an easy ride, and Paul knew that. What do you think Paul's life was like? Do you think Paul was welcomed everywhere he went? No, he wasn't. It was all about the gospel. That's why it's so encouraging. This is a pastoral letter that he writes to Titus to encourage him to stay to the foundation of the Christian faith and to always be looking at Christ crucified, because that's the hope. That's the hope for us as Christians. That is the hope. See, we as believers should be looking to Christ, His return, every day. See, we get to spend eternity with Him after this life. This life is short. And here, this is how I know this. I have worked numerous wrecks. I have seen many people who were alive 1 minute and dead the next. And let me share something with you. I don't know if those people who had just died or were dying were saved. But I'll say this, that you never know when your last moment is. You spend a short period of time here in eternity with Christ. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, Paul writes this. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that just such a beautiful passage and reminder of who Christ is, and that no matter what this world gives you, no matter what this world tries to do to you, no matter how many times it tries to put you down, no matter how many times, if whatever your past is, everybody has a past. It doesn't matter. It stops. When we come to know Christ, it stops. We don't live for the world. We change. We go to a different direction. See, and remember, every Christian should remember this, and Paul was always great to remind every church that he ever went to or established, was that Christ had you in His eyes when He was hanging on that cross. He had you in His eyes while He was sacrificing His life for for you and me. Pastor Steve Scoggins this week, since it's my last week, said it this way. He's quoting from Matthew Henry, commentary from the 1800s. Jesus died a shameful death, even though he was innocent. He died a painful death. Crucifixion is extremely painful. He died a lonely death. None of his disciples were being hung with him, beaten with him. And he died a bloody death. His blood was shed for you and me. So Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and wickedness. Through his blood, we are cleansed. Through his blood, we are redeemed. And through his blood, we are made righteous before God the Father. See, Jesus' blood purifies us. It gets rid of all the sin and shame. So no matter who you are, where you come from, where you've been, what you've done, it does not matter when you meet Christ. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, from that point forward, all your sins are washed away by his blood. His blood cleanses and makes white. It is only through him. And I emphasize that because we have to be reminded so much of God's grace. Because he sent his only son, down to earth to live as a man and to die for you. You need to be reminded that every day, every day. See, what you may or may not realize about crucifixion, and we learned a little bit more about this in my last couple weeks, was that in crucifixion, your hands are nailed, your feet are nailed together. Kind of like so. And in order to breathe, the nail going through both feet, they have to push up to be able to breathe, to take a breath. See, the Romans were cruel in this sense. They perfected what crucifixion was. The Persians invented it. The Romans perfected it. And in that, what they did was they wanted crucifixion to last for days. They wanted it to last for days. But for 6 hours, our Lord and Savior was on the cross, pushing up and down to breathe, thinking of you the whole time. You want to know why Paul writes the way that he does? To remind us of the grace of God? Because Christ never complained about going to the cross. He never complained or said anything to them. He went to the cross willingly. An innocent man. See, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." And of course we know because if you've been in church any amount of time, I would say most of you here really do know this, John 3:16 and verse 17. But hear me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Through him. I ask you today to remember God's grace in your own life. To always be aware and be thankful of the grace of God, no matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what situation. If Christ is with you in the boat, he will see you to the other side. God's grace is greater than anything that is in this world. Anything that is in this world. So I ask you to do this. I don't know what God may be doing in your heart. If you need somebody to talk to, I'm more than willing. I know there's other people here that are more than willing. But I ask you that when we pray, that you pray for a better understanding and better wisdom of God's grace and what He does for you. To always be reminded every day of how much He loves you, how much He cares for you, and how much He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you so much that He is willing to give His Son for you. Would you be willing as parents to give up one of your children for the sake of the world? I don't think I could. That's why He is God. That's why Jesus came. It's for us to be able to come to Him. He loves us that much. He's willing to give up His own Son. He loves you.